Welcome back. We trust the Lord is opening your eyes of understanding with this interesting discussion. Thank you so much, sir. You said so much, but before we took a break, you were explaining, breaking down Ezekiel 36 for us.
Yeah, I was talking about
in answer to John 1:12. Yes, that you said it's a process.
Yes, before people will say abstract. I'm sorry, I vibe off. I say it's a process.
Yes, sir.
It's a process. To him that believeth, I mean, as many as received him, they gave him power.
Power.
And I said that power is the power that converts. Mm. And this is the process. Mm. Ezekiel 36,
yes, sir.
24, verse 24.
For I will take you from among the Eden and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you.
Clean water. The water
of the word.
Of the word.
Mm.
Clean water. And why do I say it's water? Because remember, he said, except you are born
of the water,
and of the spirit,
you shall not enter the kingdom.
You will not enter. And then in Ephesians chapter 5,
yes, sir.
What did he say, verse 25 and verse 26?
Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
Go on. So what is that word now?
Washing of water. Water.
Just as water washes, he's using the word to wash us.
Mm.
You see, our spiritual bath water is the word of God.
Amen.
So what did he say? He said, just as who? As Christ.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, then he sanctify and cleanse it.
Cleanse it.
With the washing of water by the word.
How will a man cleanse his ways?
Mm.
Verse 9. Psalm 119.
Verse 9.
Yes.
Wherewith thou shall a young man cleanse his way?
By what?
By taking it thereto according to thy word.
Thy word is what he used to cleanse. Mm. It's the water, spiritual water that God uses. To wash. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5.
Ephesians 5. Yes, sir.
Verse 26 again.
That he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church.
You see?
Not having spots or wrinkle or any such thing.
And that's the process of sanctification.
But there should be holy and without blemish.
So now when he said this, verse 32.
Verse 32. This is a great mystery.
This is a great mystery.
But I speak concerning Christ and the church.
You see? So what he's saying is the same way a man will do with his wife, but the same way
Christ does with his church.
Yeah. So the emphasis is that water. Amen. Go back to Ezekiel 36.
Yes, sir. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you.
The clean water here now.
And ye shall be clean.
Is the word. So that means there is unclean water.
Hey.
You see, there is. That is why he said, thou hast known the scripture that is able to make thee wise unto salvation. When there is another gospel, so you can see now.
Amen.
So the opposite of the clean water will be dirty water.
Dirty water.
That is why Isaiah 28 and verse 8, he says, all tables are full of vomit. And there's none that is clean. No place is clean. Okay, let's read on. What is the next thing after cleaning you up?
Okay, verse 26. A new heart also will I give
you. So you see the process. You see the process. It's not an abstract.
Okay.
A new heart will he give you.
And a new spirit will
I give you. Now when you say a new, it means he will take away the old now. So it's a process.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
And a new spirit will I put within you.
A new one also. What happened to the old one?
And I will take the stony heart out of your flesh.
You see?
And I will give you an heart of flesh.
You see?
And verse 27, I will put my spirit within you.
It is only then he will now put his spirit and do what?
And cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them.
So this is the process where he said, as many as receive him,
to them gave you power to become the sons of God.
That is what you saw, and he does this by his spirit. That is the work of the spirit. So you see in Acts chapter 1.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Verse 8.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Again.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you.
You see, until that power comes upon you, don't go out and proclaim Christ.
Mm. Amen.
Listen.
Yes, sir.
That you see visitation, Christ visits you.
Mm.
He comes to you every night, does not make you born again.
Mm. Amen.
I don't know how to put it.
Please, sir, say it again.
The disciples were with Jesus for 3.5 years, maybe 4 years.
Mm.
They were with him, eating with him, drinking with him. But they were not born again. Listen.
Hey.
There is Jesus with you, and there is Jesus in you.
Hallelujah.
I repeat, there is Jesus with you, and there is Jesus in you. Oh, I wish I'm behind the pulpit to preach this gospel. And that is the problem a lot of people have. There are churches that Jesus is there, because he said, we are 2 or 3 are gathered in my name.
Hey,
I'll be there. When he's there, he will do whatever you ask him to do. That's but that is not approval that you have eternal life.
Hey.
Oh, I wish somebody can catch this, pastor especially, that you are seeing miracle signs and wonders. It's not evidence that you are born again, that God is with you. Yes, God is with you, but is he in you? Watch it. Luke chapter 24.
Luke 24.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Now verse 49.
Luke 24:49. Was there? Okay. It says, and behold,
this is Jesus Christ speaking.
I send the promise of my Father upon you.
What is the promise of the Father? It's eternal life.
Amen.
It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high.
These are people who were with him. Tarry ye there. You know, then shortly after that, in that Acts chapter 1 now,
yes, sir.
You see, verse 6.
Acts 1:6. When they therefore were come together, maybe
verse 4.
And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem.
This is Christ, though.
Yes, sir.
Told his disciples, that is, in Luke there, he told them, tarry until you receive that power. Now, Acts chapter 1, verse 4.
And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem.
Yes.
But wait for the promise of the Father, which seeth ye have heard of me.
He had told them several times.
For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days.
He didn't say Holy Ghost and fire.
That's right.
Take note
that's
of that.
That's right.
He didn't say he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire many days on them. Jesus knew his ministry.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
When they therefore were come together.
Now he said, not many days hence. He didn't also tell them the day. There's a reason why he didn't put the day. Because everybody has his own day, his own time. So if you didn't receive today, wait, your own turn is coming. He didn't tell them when. When you receive your own, don't bother. Go over 6.
When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?
Oh, they are very concerned because they are still under the Roman Empire and the Messiah is supposed to be their king. So what are you talking about now? What is happening now? With this end, are you going to do? Go ahead.
And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power.
The Father has reserved it in his own power. Don't worry, it is an agenda of God. Because at the appropriate time, it will be revealed. Not that Jesus didn't know it.
Amen.
But it's all we're telling you, look, first things first. Get out. Don't bother the one for the future. Now. There's something he wants to do now.
Hallelujah.
First.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Don't go and preach, Olumide. Don't go out and witness when you have not received the Holy Ghost. Wait until you be endued with power. Then you'll be my witnesses. Now, the witnessing of Christ, the first witness, the first witness of Christ is that you receive the power to become the Son of God. The power to be a Son of God is not the power to cast out devils.
Hey.
The power to become the Son of God is the power, and that is the first witness. There is a conversion. There is something in you. Your spirit man is changed.
Amen.
Your test is changed.
Amen.
There is something about you that disconnects you from the worldly way of living.
Hallelujah.
That is the conversion.
Mm.
You love God the more.
Amen.
And you serve Him without grumbling.
Mm.
You enter a relationship for better, for worse.
Mm.
Whether He blesses me or not, if whatever He does, there is an anchor you have.
Mm.
That things that you used to do before, you don't find yourself, not because a pastor says you shouldn't do it.
Mm.
Not because the test just die. That is the first witness.
Mm.
And you are either a true witness or a false witness.
Mm.
If the experience you have does not give you a new nature, a new test for life, a new spirit, you know, does not make you love God the more, then you are a false witness.
Hmm.
If you are telling people you are a Christian.
Wow.
False witness.
Hey. Wow. Thank you so much, sir. A definite encounter, and the power is the power for conversion.
Yes.
Not an abstract power, not imputed. Okay, sir, let me go a little bit further. How can I know I'm a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Ghost?
Number one, William Brown put it this way. He said, the evidence that water exists is the test.
Mm.
If there was no water, you would not test for water.
Mm.
That suddenly you yearn for the Holy Ghost, is evident there is a Holy Ghost for you.
Wow.
Now, how do I know you are a candidate for the Holy Ghost? You get convicted.
Mm.
Suddenly you are convicted and you are looking for a way out of the judgment that you know you deserve.
Mm.
When you reach that estate, it is then you see the same pattern. Let's see it in Acts chapter 2.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Verse 37.
Okay. Now, when they heard this,
when they heard the gospel that Peter preached concerning Christ,
they were pricked in their hearts.
You see, pricked here is that they were convicted.
Mm.
Yes.
And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?
That is how you will know who is a candidate
mm.
for the Holy Ghost. You know, you see some people, when they just hear the gospel, you see them crying. That is the conviction. Some cry. Some get so worried they can't even eat food. You see them very gloomy. Why? Because they have realized how useless life they have lived.
Mm.
And now they say, will God accept me? Look at the horrible life I have lived. It is in that state. It is in that estate. You know, you see your inadequacy. You see that you deserve to go to hell. Then you see the hand of love.
Hallelujah.
Bring you, and then He will give you the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Sir, there's this popular saying, this is rightly dividing the word of truth,
yep.
in the end time message, that evidence you have the Holy Ghost is that you believe the message of your day.
Now it is just another way of putting the scripture that that the Holy Ghost will, John chapter 14, I believe.
Okay. Leading to our truth?
Yes.
Okay. John 14, 26
now,
and John 16, 13.
Yes, let's read John 14 first.
Okay, John 14, 26.
Yes.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name,
uh-huh.
He shall teach you all things,
you see? Uh-huh.
And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you.
And chapter 16, verse 13.
Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into
all truth.
For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak.
He will guide you to all truth. He will lead you to all truth. It's very, very important. So now, when they said the evidence of the Holy Ghost is that it will let you to see
is that you believe the message of your day.
Is that you believe the message of your day. Now, I want you to also note John chapter 3.
Yes, sir.
Verse 3. What did Jesus tell Nicodemus?
Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Now, seeing the kingdom of God. A lot of people have seen the end time message. That's why they'll tell you they believe. But Jesus went further. Now read it. Read the next verse 4.
Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?
So what did he say in verse 5?
Except a man be born of water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom.
That's why I say you may see something. You may see the kingdom of God, which is an act of the Holy Ghost. But to enter into it is another process. And so it is not enough for you. Malachi 4:5-6, I believe. What is Malachi 4:5-6 saying? What is the prophet saying? The prophet is telling you, enter the kingdom. You have heard the revelation, but are you a partaker of it? So it is dangerous. That quote is very dangerous quote. I call it, it's a dangerous quote.
Wow.
In fact, that quote is a suicidal quote. Very suicidal. Because if you take it on the face value of that statement, then you say, I believe. I believe. If you believe, then have you acted on what you believe? You see, I believe there is God. Perfect. Everybody, any normal person must know that God is only a fool that said in his heart there is no God. That's good. That means you are not a fool. But are you part of what this God is doing now? When you are still a Muslim? When you are still a Hindu? Are you part of what is happening now? I believe the story of Jesus Christ died on the cross on Calvary. Have you benefited from what he did on the cross on Calvary? Of what use is that belief if you are not affected by by the power of his resurrection?
Amen.
That is why Peter said, give diligence to make your calling and election
sure. Wow. This is very interesting, sir. You know, in the Pentecostal world today, we have so many Holy Ghost programs, Holy Ghost Congress, Holy Ghost Convention, Holy Ghost Camp, Holy Ghost Service. It leads me to ask, what are the characteristics of the baptism of the Holy Ghost? If one should say he's going to an Holy Ghost program, what should we be expecting?
Well, there are two things or three things that happens when a church that must happen. If a church will organize what you call Holy Ghost program. Actually, Holy Ghost program, when you say Holy Ghost program, number one, is opportunity for the people to come and let's pay attention to the need for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So, actually, Holy Ghost program, it is not a healing and deliverance program. You see, Holy Ghost program is to come about eternal life.
It's for eternal life.
It's for eternal life. So every Holy Ghost program is opportunity for the people to come and receive eternal life. So anytime you say we are having Holy Ghost program, we're having Holy Ghost Congress, Holy Ghost Congress, Holy Ghost this, Holy Ghost that, It is opportunity for the people to come and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Mm.
Now, you achieve two things. Because when you receive the Holy Ghost, there are other things that accompany it.
Mm.
One of it is that it brings you into the body of Christ.
Mm.
And when you come into the body of Christ, you are not coming there to lie down and sleep.
Mm.
You become a member that has something to supply for the well-being of the body.
The body. Amen.
Which is what the gift is. So when you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost,
wow,
there will be a gift,
mm,
which is your part in that body that you have come into.
Hallelujah.
Now, when you say Holy Ghost program comes, the reason is that you have observed that the people are, people are not functioning,
mm,
as they should function in the body.
Mm.
Why? You need a revival.
Amen.
So Holy Ghost program can also be a revival.
For eternal life, for revival.
Revival and for restoration.
And for restoration.
Yes.
Wow.
Restoration of that zeal. That is why we call it fire.
Hmm.
The fire that moves you, actually, we just call it fire. We begin to think that is the Holy Ghost and fire.
Hmm.
But the fire that, that we say it's just to fire you up. Something that fires you up is a revival fire,
wow,
that comes upon you. Mm. So when the Pentecostals say, come for Holy Ghost, they are coming to demonstrate gifts. Take it and people fall down and all that. If you stand up and your life is not affected, it was not the Holy Ghost.
Wow. Thank you so much, sir. Yes. For eternal life, for revival
and for restoration. Yes.
And nobody should teach you how to speak in tongues, as commonly done today.
No, that is another one. come and receive the Holy Ghost, and then they will add with evidence of speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
I don't know where they got that thing from.
Yeah.
That is some of the things we try to, that is part of the things we try to correct.
Amen.
During every June program. And we allow people to ask questions. Brethren, speaking in tongues is not the evidence.
Okay, sir, we are coming to the manifestation and evidence.
Yes.
But we'll take a short break. And when we come back, we'll begin to look at the manifestations of the Holy Ghost, the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And now you can be sure that experience you had is truly the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
We'll be right back.